is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. A few weeks ago, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos was on 60 Minutes with Charlie Rose. And he surprised Charlie by introducing us to Amazon drones. Product delivery by Amazon through the air. No, they don't have it yet. They haven't even gotten anywhere close to being able to make it available for consumers yet. But he said they're hoping to in the next 2 or 3 years. Amazon is not the only company that's looking to get into drone delivery of various products in the United States. There are all sorts of companies, commercial and otherwise, who are looking at this possibility. And just the last week, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, authorized some test sites for drone aircraft in upstate New York and New Jersey and at Virginia Tech and in North Dakota and in Nevada and Alaska and at Texas A&M and Corpus Christi, where they're going to be testing out what could be coming through the skies in the new landscape of drones. Here to talk about this is Brendan Shulman, who's an attorney at the law firm of Kramer Levin in New York City, where he heads the firm's unmanned aircraft systems practice. He's also a drones hobbyist and has been building and flying these things for about 20 years, so he's got some personal investment in this as well as the legal investment. Brendan, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Good morning, Paul.
As a drone enthusiast, did this excite you?
Very much. Yes, this really is a revolutionary technology, and much in the same way as the Internet was about 20 years ago. It's going to revolutionize not just its own industry, but really countless others.
What does the fact that we're in the testing stage at these half-dozen sites, what does that mean about a timeline going forward before Amazon and other companies can actually fill the air, the sky with drones?
Well, actually, the test sites were supposed to be announced in August of last year, and there was a timeline that was set out by Congress in the 2012 statute that required the FAA to issue new rules by 2015. We're honestly way behind on that schedule, and we're playing catch-up.
Last summer, I spoke to the chief of police in St. Louis, Missouri, who wants permission from the FAA to put drones in the air for surveillance purposes. He's not alone. There are other law enforcement agencies that want to do the same at the domestic level, and yet there has not been approval yet. One of the things that I was concerned about in my discussion with him came down to the simple concept of privacy. Where will there be privacy protections for all of us when anybody can put anything in the air and look down at us?
Well, I think there are plenty of protections in place right now in state law. Many states have common law privacy protections. They have anti-stalking laws, anti-peeping Tom laws. And to the extent you're talking about a camera that's looking at a person, let's say in a backyard or through a window, there really are already plenty of privacy protections. I think there'll be a question about data acquisition and how the data is used, in various contexts.
Yeah. In that regard, I read an article that said that the people who operate these drones are going to have to publish their privacy policies online about how they use the data they gather and how long they're going to be able to retain that data. You and I both know, well, you're a lawyer, maybe you actually do read these things, but 99.9% of Americans do not look at the privacy policy for anything online or paperwork that comes in the mail for them. Oh, yeah, it's the privacy policy from my bank, right in the trash. So nobody's going to look at that. What kind of legal protections will there be for us when it comes to the data collection part of it?
Well, typically with respect to data collection and data use, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, tends to step in when there's an issue that compromises the consumer or the public. So when you see a data breach that occurred, such as the one at Target, you typically see a corresponding FTC investigation.
What do you see as the prominent use of drones once the FAA gets past the testing phase and into approval?
There's a really, really long list. The primary use is probably going to be in agriculture, spotting state of crops and livestock from the air, applying pesticides in a very precise manner, which is something that Japan has actually been doing already for the past decade, another area where we're behind. I think from there the uses include law enforcement, search and rescue. Obviously, Hollywood cinematography is a big one. You can take some amazing aerial shots for very little money using one of these small drones.
I mentioned that you're a drones hobbyist and have been building and flying them for nearly 20 years. How are you able to fly them if we didn't have laws set up yet?
There's always been an exception, or call it authority, for a hobbyist or recreational user to fly a drone. That's true today. In fact, there really is no regulation today that restricts the use of a drone, whether commercial or otherwise. Instead, the FAA has said as a matter of policy that these devices should not be used for commercial purposes. But in the case that I'm handling right now, which is the very first litigation on point, we are challenging the enforceability of that regulation. So as to hobbyists and recreational users, there is no current restriction. As to commercial uses, that's currently in dispute, and it's a gray area.
You don't have to give me all the details, obviously, but you're involved in the first ever federal case involving commercial drones. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So my client, Raphael Perker, is actually really the world's best-known radio control drone pilot. He goes around the world taking really incredible videos of landmarks and landscapes and urban areas. He's been to the Southwest U.S., including San Francisco. About 2 years ago, he was flying by invitation at the University of Virginia, where he was invited to do some commercial photography for an advertising agency. The FAA saw the video on YouTube and took exception to it. They consider it to be reckless, and they're pursuing a fine against him. Keep in mind that he was flying a 5-pound styrofoam model airplane, so we are defending the case on the basis that there's no regulation that would allow the imposition of a fine against that activity.
All right, speaking of that sort of drone activity, I mentioned Jeff Bezos on 60 Minutes, and they had a promotional clip in which there was an Amazon drone making a delivery to somebody's house. It was my understanding that it was illegal for them to shoot that footage in the United States because of the way the law is set up. Is that wrong?
Well, I can't give legal advice on a radio show, but I will say that there's no regulation that prohibits the commercial use of a drone. Instead, there's a policy statement that was issued by the FAA in 2007 that simply says that business use of a model aircraft is not allowed. It's simply not the case that an agency can make up a policy statement and issue it and have that become law. Instead, there's a specific approach that has to be taken under the statute for the issuance of new regulations so as to allow the public notice about what the regulation is going to be and also an opportunity to comment on the regulation before it goes into effect. That was never done with respect to drones. So, I think what you're seeing is a lot of people go overseas or outside the country so as to avoid having to deal with a policy statement. The question of whether there's a regulation is very much open.
Can you see 5 years from now ordering a pizza and having it delivered by drone?
I think delivery from point to point is one of the trickier applications of the technology. You have to deal with weather and power lines and other things that might be in the way. You have to deal with perhaps the neighbor's dog who may be interested in the pizza. So that may be the most difficult of all the potential commercial applications. But I do think within 5 years we will be seeing this technology in use in a wide range of fields, and it really will revolutionize many industries.
How do we make sure the sky doesn't get too full?
Well, a lot of these drones have the most utility at very low altitudes. So if you're flying one of these things a few dozen feet off the ground, you really aren't posing any hazard to passenger aircraft such as jetliners. Those, by regulation, are supposed to fly at least 500 feet off the ground, if not higher. So I think one way to ensure safety is to keep the technology low to the ground.
Yeah, but that wasn't my question. I was curious about how do we make sure that we don't look up in the middle of the afternoon and see the sky. It's a beautiful blue sky day. Really? I can't tell. There are too many drones.
I don't think we're going to get to the point where it's quite that crowded. It's quite possible that we can set up using GPS particular routes for these devices to follow so that they aren't flying over places where you'd want to see blue skies, such as a national park.
They'll all have to give off information about where they are, and the GPS system, I'm sure, will be a big part of whatever drone technology comes down the pike.
Sure, but that technology already exists. It's already possible today. Everything you saw in that Amazon video is possible today. You can pick up a package, use GPS to get it to from point A to point B, and drop it off and come back. All of this technology already exists.
Well, we'll see what the University of Alaska and the North Dakota Department of Commerce and the state of Nevada and Texas A&M and the other test sites come up with as they move forward with this technology over the course of the next few months and years. Brendan Shulman, special counsel of the New York City law firm Kramer Levin. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul Harris. America.